Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 25th of October. I think I've got the old COVID. See, this is why I don't go to a wedding on Saturday, my niece's wedding. I started feeling a bit rough yesterday, and today I feel terrible. Absolutely sorry, terrible. But I haven't got any tests, so I've got to try and get hold of a COVID test. Got to buy them now, haven't we? And see. But I think it is, because I feel absolutely garbage. And by all accounts, there's a bit going about, and everybody who has it feels terrible. So there we go. Yeah, see, don't go out, don't go to gatherings. Lovely wedding, very nice. Nice to catch up with everybody, apart from the bloke who gave me COVID. I sat at a table of. A table of Geordies, and there was one couple from Birmingham, and we were discussing the dialect, discussing how a bread roll becomes a. Oh, the dog's got it as well. You're all right. How a bread roll becomes a cob, then a barm, and then by the time you get back up to Newcastle, it's back to being a bread roll a bit. So it's just that Middle Earth and them Northwesterners who get it all wrong. Yeah, I'm discussing the dialect, how Brummies sound so miserable. But yeah, no, good fun, lovely to catch up with everybody. And then what else was there? Oh yeah, went out last week. And the old I've said it many times on many sub. Oh, I think the dog has got it. Sorry, is oh dear. I've given the dog COVID. The Israel Gaza Palestinian situation, it's just horrific. Went up to London last week, meet a few FTSers. That's where Suggsy said that Tottenham have won too many games. Nonsense. And got on the train on the way home. Wasn't drunk, was relatively sober. And there's two lawyers sat at a table seat, got on first, sat on a table seat, and then two lawyers got on. And I knew they were lawyers because they start announcing it. And I find that with solicitors and people like that, particularly city ones, they speak in a sort of fake posh voice very loudly to let everybody know that their opinion on things is greater than anything else. My brother and my boy-in-law, my brother, he's got a sort of lawyer's voice. I say to him, it's just nonsense when. Love him. He's one of my favourite people in the world. Great fun. Some of you have met him at the football. But when he talks about work, oh yes, and did this and had some really important calls and this, that, and the other. When we look at the old White Hart Lane, he used to turn up, pinstripe suit, the old George Graham rain mech, and come in, had a good day. Well, yeah, it's been quite busy, all this, that. And then you get in the seat, the game would kick off, and we sit 5 rows back in the old ground on the halfway line. Linesman there. Oi, linesman, you fucking blind. I thought, hang on a minute, where's the posh lawyer gone? And these two were like that, and they started sounding off about the Israel-Palestinian war. And the problem I've got with all this stuff is it's just a tragic, tragic waste of life. The only way you do win a war these days will be to completely and utterly obliterate the country. So no one wants to see that. Not many people have got the guts to do anything like that. And nor should they. And it's so you just kind of go on like the Americans and UK and Afghanistan, where ultimately people die and the Taliban end up back where they were. What's gone in Iraq? And it's all so nuanced, and then people in this country try and pretend they're experts on it and try and take sides. And basically, this bloke was all tied up in his posh voice saying that Israel should just flatten Gaza, just flatten it, take it back, just flatten it. And was going on in his, yes, we should just flatten the place, flatten, despicable, flatten them, flatten despicable people, just flatten it. And I sat there and I thought, don't. And then I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I said, and I wasn't rude. I didn't shout. I wasn't rude. I just said, I'll be honest, mate. I said, you're speaking out quite loudly on a really nuanced topic and you ain't got a clue what you're talking about. And I said, that's one of the problems with things like this. People just go on about it. And he didn't take very kindly to it. So he said, oh, you're to call me a terrorist apologist, was it? Something like that. I went, well, no, I'm not. I said, what Hamas did and those people did on whatever date, October the 7th, is horrendous. What's gone on out there for years is horrendous. You know, you look at the the West Bank. As I said this to him, I said, you look at the West Bank where there's allegedly no Hamas. I don't know whether there is or isn't. There'll be people who tell you there is, there are people who tell you there isn't. But 7,000 Palestinians have been bombed in there since 2007, 2008, over 600 children, over 150,000 injured. I said it's more nuanced than any of us will ever understand, and the reasons behind it. I have no view on it either way, other than it is tragic. It is just a tragic waste of life. I'm not one of these who's going to jump on sides and take sides. I just think we, again, it's another one where you live in hope that some adults can get round the room. Some sort of two-state, three-state solution is probably the answer. Is that ever going to be happen? Probably not. And it's one of those you can never see it resolving itself. And certainly just, bombing the place flat is not. I fully understand that what happened, and there's got to be some response to it. And, what is a proportionate response? I've no idea. And none of us here have. None of us here have. We just all this taking sides, Palestinian flag waving in London, people jumping up and down in favour of Israel. I just think the whole thing is a bit tragic. And people like that shouldn't be sitting on trains, gobbing off loud about it, as if they're authorities on it. Because he wasn't. You could see he'd had a few wines, the old ruddy faced and that. So yeah, it's all just tragic, but I can't help myself. So I got off the train, FTS one, couple of snotty lawyers, pompous lawyers, nil. There we go. We're at the top of the league and looking down on the nation, and the only explanation I can find, another win, Ireland's in the stream, that is what we are. Yeah, see, I don't know why we started singing that song, Spurs fans, but it's become becoming lots touting for Ireland's in the Stream to become a Spurs song. That's one of my favourites. Yeah, it's not going to last, but Arsenal, you're joint second. There you go. Joint second, but top of the league. Go 5 points clear on Friday. Lots of my gooner mates texting me all 5 points clear. You can't mess it up from there. One, we're not 5 points clear. Two, we may not go 5 points clear. And three, there's 10 games gone, you mug. So stop trying to get me all to bite on that. Tottenham will struggle to be in the top four come the end of the season. But I do think, I still think Chelsea will be in the mix for top four. I think Chelsea will, I don't think Chelsea will, Poch will get them to the level of City, Liverpool, but they'll climb up the table. United will be there. Villa will definitely be there. I've said that. I've put a couple of people have told me I'm mad and that Villa will just be seventh, eighth. I don't believe that. I think Villa have got, other than City and Liverpool, I think Villa have got more points since January the 1st than any other team. Whether that's true now, I haven't checked it for a few weeks, but certainly a few weeks back that was the case. Villa have done a bit of winning since then, but as have other teams. But I think, yeah, the one I'd say will drop away probably will be Brighton. Don't know what Newcastle will be. I personally have Villa finishing above Newcastle. So yeah, be interesting to see. And enjoy it while you can. There, Suggsy, there's no such thing as winning too many games. Win all the games you can. Oh, we have an absolute brutal. I mean, we haven't played a lot of the top teams, or and fortunately not caught them at their best, and got a little bit lucky with the Liverpool one. But or April is brutal. I think we got Newcastle, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, one game after the other. That'll kind of define where we're going to finish, I would think. So let's not worry about it till then. Again, it's this Sky mentality of trying to award the league to people in September, October. It's absolute nonsense. And Borough climbing up the table. See, what did I say? He for me is going to be the next superstar manager. I've got no real affection to easy for you to say to Middlesbrough, but I just do like Michael Carrick. Yeah, up to seventh, joint fifth using the logic for a team that barely had a point after what 8 games. They've won 5 or 6 on the spin. Charging up the table, I still think Middlesbrough. I think Leicester obviously running away. I still think Middlesbrough will be the ones that challenge Ipswich. No team, I think no team's had that many points after 11 games. Ipswich have got and not gone up. But I do think Middlesbrough will. There's a long way to go in that league as well. Middlesbrough will climb up there. I think he will be the next top manager. I just look at it and think, fantastic club he's gone to in Steve Gibson, the chairman, who does give managers a chance. A lot of clubs after their start would have got rid of him. I just think he's done everything in the game. Love the way he played football. Think he's a cool character. Learned under Ferguson. I just think he's got all the attributes to be a top manager. He will be, for me, the next top English manager. So good luck, old Michael Carrick, and get the Borough up there. I said Ipswich would do well in the pre-season preview. Right, I'm going to go and do some work and probably curl up in a ball because I feel absolutely terrible. but my mate's text me because I was meant to meet somebody this afternoon. I've said, like, I'm not going to meet you there. He's texted me and said, you've got the big Ange virus. The big Ange, he's a gooner. Big Ange virus, 5 points clear. You're not used to it. We're not 5 points clear. Yeah, but we're top of the league. Nothing else. I didn't do a live at the weekend, just with a wedding, and then Sam left some bits behind. I had to go back out on the Sunday. She'd left some bits over at the wedding venue. That about wedding was in Tunbridge Wells. About, I don't know, it's about a 60-mile journey. Ended up doing about 400 or 500 miles at the weekend. The time I dropped the dog off and then had to go and pick the dog up and then back home and then back out again to get that flipping nonsense. Right, but I will be, hopefully, as provided this doesn't hold me too back too much, I will be online Saturday, Sunday, doing some live sessions. I want to get into some of this football trading over the week. Good response to the pod on Monday. Sorry, Tuesday, wasn't it? I will. I've had some feedback from that already. I'll do a sort of extended version of that. So I'll do version two or another additional pod on that on next week, just covering some of the points that have been raised. But you know, the key element is that if you any, I think anything in life, you try and do something that doesn't fit you, doesn't suit you, it makes it a lot harder. One, it makes it harder to enjoy, but two, I just don't think you're as capable at it. I don't think you. Your you, it just doesn't work. That's my belief, and I've sort of learned that. It's taken me a while to learn it, but I've learned it over time. One for myself, but two, you know, in trying to help people, this sort of just do this one glove fits all doesn't tend to work. You've got to take people and say, right, where are you? What do you want to do? What suits you? What's your mentality? What are the things that are going to hold you back? That's what you've got to identify, and then work around those things. And we'll get there. Don't worry about it. Right, we're at the top of the league and looking down on the nation. I will leave you with that. Up the Spurs, up the Borough. And I will catch you all at the weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week.